Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today. Save big money
at Menards. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out. Gronkowski didn't have the angle. Touchdown. Aho Kenyon Drake. A miracle.
Murray heaves it downfield. It is. It is caught. DeAndre Hopkins. Miraculous.
Fires. Mike's it. Walker.
We are full throttle ahead on today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel kicking around the divisional previews for this weekend. A lot to get into, a lot of news and notes surrounding the NFL. Scott, news in Seattle. They're changing things up. Defensive coordinator Ken Norton Jr. fired. That defense was abysmal in the second half of the year. Seattle did not make the playoffs. News around Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll. Will this team be together in 2022? But we talked about it yesterday in terms of the fall guy, right? It is always the coordinators, and Ken Norton Jr., the first domino to fall for Seattle in 2022.
Yeah, is he the first domino? You know, are there more coming, including quarterback Russell Wilson, right? And really include even Pete Carroll. You would think not if this move was made. If Pete was going to get fired, I think it would have happened, before this. So I think he's safe. And quite frankly, I don't know. Although I won't say that about Russell Wilson. I don't know. You know, do they want to blow the whole thing up? Does the Seattle want to do that? Does Pete Carroll, closing in on 70 years old, want to blow the whole thing up and start all over again? I wouldn't think so, but you got to blame somebody, right? So you're going to blame a guy who's, a lifer, an NFL lifer, whether as a player, as a coach, had success, is both, obviously. But you got to pick the blame on someone, so they're going to pick on poor Ken Newton Jr.
Yeah, and when you look at just foundation, right, the foundation is there for the Seahawks to be potentially successful next year if Wilson does stay one of the most athletic, dynamic quarterbacks in the NFC or the NFL, for that matter. Rashad Penny, the former Aztec, came on. I mean, one of the best running backs in the second half of the season, just dominating with 100-yard performances. You have DK Metcalf. You have a complimentary wide receiver in terms of Tyler Lockett. But that defense is getting older, right? Jamal Adams never really panned out as being that elite safety from a statistical standpoint. Yeah, he puts up numbers, but didn't really transform the intensity. Teams ran on them, threw on them, and in order for them to compete with the likes of, let's say, San Francisco and Green Bay, that defense needs a major overhaul next year.
Yeah, it really does. And that, they gave up two first-round picks. He'll be the poster child on why you just don't do that. You just don't give up those first-round picks. And as it turned out, I think if you told Seattle that one of those was going to be a top-10 pick like this year, they probably would have said, nah, we can't go that far. But as it turned out, it was. And you roll the dice if you're the Jets, right? Okay, we're going to get rid of a disgruntled guy. We're going to get not one but two first-rounders. And, you hope one of those turns into an actual real decent pick. And this year it did. But he was not. That's why you don't do it. You give these guys the money. Football is such a brutal, tough sport, right? You give guys money and that changes their attitude. Then all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, I'm not going to stick my nose in there and, you know, risk concussion, risk shoulder injuries, risk everything else. Yeah, I'll play, but, you know, I'm not going to go the extra mile. I got $50 million guaranteed.
Yeah, and then Mike Tomlin came out over the weekend, said all options are on the table this offseason to find the Pittsburgh Steelers' next quarterback. Now, we know Mason Rudolph is there, the former Oklahoma State standout behind Big Ben. Do they move to a player like Kenny Pickett that played in Heinz Field, that had a Heisman Trophy type of performance this year in terms of backing Big Ben as the next quarterback for this franchise, or do they look in free agency, in your opinion, to lead this team back to the playoffs next year?
Well, you probably have a couple of viable free agents, right? Or at least tradable guys. You know, even if you don't think Russell Wilson will be moved. You know, Jimmy G's definitely available, right? Teddy Bridgewater is definitely available. You want to give Mitch Trubisky another shot. You know, he's the typical, prototypical, like Big Ben protege, right? Big, strong, can scramble a little bit when Ben was younger. Throw in that cold weather, deal with the cold weather. He's on a one-year contract with the Buffalo Bills, so he's going to be available. So you got a couple of guys there that, you know, I'm sure if you wanted, you called up the Giants. If you thought for whatever reason that Danny Dimes was any good, I'm sure the Giants would say, where do we deliver him? You know, we'll right on your doorstep. You just tell me where. You know, you give me a first-round pick or a second-round or whatever. So, you know, this is one of my pet peeves. John, listen, I'm old school. I think you're old school, too, a little bit more than most, but maybe not like me. But, you know, when I heard Ben Roethlisberger over these last 2 weeks talking about how it's great, last home game at Heinz Field and this past weekend, you know, last game, blah, 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 blah. I'm yelling and screaming at myself because I've been to a zillion of these press conferences, if you have. I said, you know, just ask him. Will somebody please have enough brains to just ask this guy, are you retiring? Because he's dancing all around it and talking about last game. But no one ever, I thought maybe I missed the story, right? You know, I don't, you know, work in Pittsburgh. I don't read the Pittsburgh Gazette every single day, so I keep up on things, but maybe I missed it somewhere. But they never did, and now I got Mike Tomlin, as you said, you know, yesterday talking about, well, all options are open, and you know, we assume Ben's going to retire, but we don't really know. I mean, why didn't somebody just say, Ben, is this it? You can't say it? You know, is there some kind of stigma that, you know, your body, your brain won't accept saying I'm retiring? But we really don't even know if he's exactly going to retire or not.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, he's not going to be with the Steelers next year. That's my assessment. When Scott and I return, we'll break down in deeper detail those two big games on Saturday, Cincinnati and Tennessee, San Fran, Green Bay, coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel, getting you ready, prepped and ready for divisional weekend. Big battle taking place in Tennessee. Joe Burrow, Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry back at practice this week, kicking it around. Right now, Tennessee, 3.5-point home favorites over the Bengals, -110 either way on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Total, Scott, 47, juiced slightly to the over at -112. Joe Burrow, loved him in college, loved the fact that he won the Heisman and, more importantly, a national championship for the LSU Tigers. He has that it factor, big playmakers around him as well. This defense showed me something in the win over Derek Carr and the Raiders. I know, number one seed, and they're on the road, but I'm going to roll the dice. Give me Cincinnati and the over in this ballgame. I think he leads them to the championship round.
Yeah, I'm not ready to go that far. I love them. You know, they were my Cinderella team from basically the beginning of the year on. So, but, you know, the numbers aren't good. I'll give you a couple of Mark Lawrence specials here. Rested, and you got to go slowly with these things because we all know they're a little, they're a little complicated at times. But these are, you know, somewhat legit. Rested home teams, Tennessee, in this round, 134 straight up. 71, 59, and 4 against the spread, plus road teams, Cincinnati, coming off a straight up and against the spread win like they had, just 53-69-2 against the spread. Cincinnati's also 0-7 in playoff road games in their history. Now, does that matter with this football team? No, it really doesn't. But it is just one more thing you could pile on the anti-Cincinnati thing. Point being, it's very difficult, not impossible, Joe, for teams to win like Cincinnati did and then win on the road. But, it, you know, it does lean towards the home team in this round throughout the postseason having an advantage. You know, a solid, not a major, major, but a solid advantage. And at 134, that's the one that stands out to me. And because the number is so low, 3.5. Could it be a three-point game? Sure, it could. But I'm guessing that 71-59-4 against the spread record is because a lot of those lines are 6 or 7. This is basically you got to win the game. And I think Derrick Henry, if he comes back, which isn't a definite thing, but I think this would be a tough spot for Cincinnati to duplicate what they had last week.
Well, it's not going to be easy. You're absolutely right. And I said that the offensive game plan for Tennessee entering this battle has to be the running game, right? As the running game goes, whether it be Foreman or Derrick Henry 100%, they're going to have to wear down the Cincinnati Bengal front seven and work off a play action. If they become one-dimensional, even though A.J. Brown and Julio Jones maybe are 100% in this ballgame, to me it doesn't matter. They are not an elite team when you force Tennessee in terms of that regard, against subpar competition, Miami and Tua, you can get away with that, especially playing at home. But going up against a sophisticated passing attack with a quarterback that is confident, at the end of the day, whether Joe Burrow makes mistakes or not, Scott, he bounces back in a big way. He has a short-term memory in the sense of doesn't allow mistakes to bother him, a la Kyler Murray, deer in the headlights type of situation. It seems like the stage is never too big for Broadway Joe in that regard. So, I still think that, if you're Cincinnati entering this ballgame, you say, you know what? We know we have the better quarterback, or let's say the more experienced passing game entering this matchup, right? Let's go all out. Let's push tempo on Ryan Tannehill, and let's see if this offense can match us score for score. Let's try and get into a rhythm early. On the flip side, if you're Tennessee and you saw what Las Vegas did pounding the rock for over 100, you're saying, okay, offensive line, let's wear them down and keep Joe Burrow on the sidelines, no?
You would think so, yeah. But, are they going to back down to Cincinnati at home? I don't know if it would necessarily would mean backing down or just that's their game plan, pound the rock, with Derrick Henry or Deontay Foreman, either one. They gained. The numbers are almost identical, believe it or not. Clearly you'd rather have Henry in there, but they ran for 148 yards with Derrick Henry rushing the ball, and they ran for 136, without him in there. They were 6-2 with Derrick Henry. They were 6-3 without him. More dynamic, obviously, with Henry, but, that's going to be their game plan, maybe no matter who they play, versus, they want to keep it away from the Bengals. They're not going to win with Ryan Tannehill throwing the football 35, 40 times because Julio Jones is bound to get hurt. They're going to win games if they can run the football for 150 yards. And I think they'll be able to do it with the injuries that the Bengals have on the defensive line. That's a bit of a concern for me as well.
Yeah. Now, we saw Derek Carr rip that defense for 300-plus in the loss. They have Ryan Tannehill right now on FanDuel. His number's pretty high, 235.5. Minus 114 either way. They have a number for Burrow in terms of his passing prop on FanDuel, 278.5. I love Burrow's number. I think he gets over 300 in this ballgame. And let's keep in mind that wild card game last year with Lamar Jackson. They did not take away Baltimore's best option in terms of or strength in that matchup from a defensive perspective. Are they going to be able to do it in this ballgame? Because if you're Tennessee, you want to make, obviously, Cincinnati one-dimensional. That's any defensive game plan. But you really have to limit Joe Burrow to short to intermediate throws in this ballgame.
Yeah, easier said than done. Although, the Raiders did a halfway decent job. You're right, the Raiders actually outgained Cincinnati last week. I was a little disappointed because I was playing all the over Burrow numbers, all the goofy ones we talked about, 3 touchdown passes and 300-plus yards, and he didn't have that monster game that I thought maybe they would, especially after facing the Raiders for a second time. So, but ultimately, I still like I like Tennessee. I just it's a stepping stone. What they were able to accomplish last week. They broke their Cincinnati jinx, which I didn't even know they thought they had a jinx, but they did. Longest playoff drought, for wins in playoff history, 31 years, or at least current one, 31 years. It's Like I said, we've seen this 1,000 times. Good job. Love them. They'll be even better next year. But I don't think they're going to make it 2 steps in a row. I think this is the first step, and I think Tennessee wins at home.
Well, we're going to break this game down, not just from a side in total. We'll get into some of the props as well. No rushing props as of right now on Tennessee at all. No Foreman, no Derrick Henry. There's only Ryan Tannehill at 15.5 on FanDuel, -122 to the over. Mixon right now, 61.5. And Joe Burrow, 8.5, -120 to the over. He was at 8.5 last week. I thought he would go over. He had 1 rushing yard. I sort of think that Burrow gets over the 8.5 here with a road game. Tannehill, he's going to have to do a little bit more going up against the #1 seed. So I like Burrow to get over his total.
I like both those guys. I like, you know, generally I like all these quarterbacks that have these modest numbers. Like, you know, Tennessee runs a little bit with Tannehill. You know, they run a couple of plays for him. You know, we've seen him score touchdowns. I like his touchdown prop as well when they post that up. But not surprised they haven't put up the numbers for Tennessee just because they don't know who's playing, whether it's Foreman or Derrick Henry. But 15.5 yards. You know, that's basically 1 scramble. You know, maybe 2, 1 design play, 1 7-8 yard scramble, and Burrow also 8.5 yards. He can get that on 1 play.
Ryan Tannehill +310, anytime touchdown scorer on FanDuel. You taking
like that
or Joe Burrow at 5-1? Scotty.
I like that even better. You know, yeah, keep on going up. Who else? 7-1, 8-1. I have to get at least 3-1 in some of these guys. You know, the one thing about Tennessee is they're not really explosive. You know, they haven't been. You know, they're not gonna throw the football 60 yards down the field, so they're gonna dink and dunk their way down the field like we talked about, especially if Henry plays. So I could see them getting inside the 5-yard line, and then Tannehill could kind of take over there versus long passes. So I could see both those quarterbacks, especially Tannehill, which is why he's only 3-1 versus the 5-1.
Right, and he's a tall quarterback. Matt Stafford did get a quarterback sneak in the victory over Arizona. So in terms of goal line situations, Burrow a little bit more mobile, not as big in terms of frame as Ryan Tannehill. So that's why the 3-10 versus the 5-1. How about Tennessee defense? We know they've been opportunistic, Scotty. +420, yes or no?
420? That's pretty good. It's usually around 3, to tell you the truth, so I like that.
So we'll see if Tennessee could do it. When we come back, we'll dive into some of the receivers for both Tennessee and Cincinnati, Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel, right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scotty, old NFL films, playoff type of music, getting us prepped and ready for this divisional battle in Nashville. We talked about the offensive side of the ball, obviously, for Tennessee, running the football with both of those running backs, Foreman and Derrick Henry. We discussed both quarterbacks, Ryan Tannehill and Joe Burrow. Let's get into some of the receivers, Scott, before we break it down. A.J. Brown, 74.5 in terms of his receiving prop, -110. Boyd at 45.5. T. Higgins, 65.5. And your guy, Ja'Marr Chase, to do it, you're all Swiss Army knife with 116 against the Raiders last week. He just moved simultaneously to me bringing him up. 77.5, -115 to the over. Anything pique your fancy there?
I'm looking at Ja'Marr Chase receiving yards 77.5. Is that possible?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, the boys at FanDuel are giving us a free gift.
Don't say it, Scotty.
This is it. Call up Home Depot. Call up Lowe's. I got the lock of the postseason. There's barring injury. Tennessee doesn't have a shutdown corner. There's no Jalen Ramsey on Tennessee that I know of. There's no way this guy's not getting 80 yards in receiving. I mean, barring 50-mile-an-hour winds, right? 77.5 yards, Joe? What, are you kidding me?
It's a little light.
No way.
it's a little light because they do a great job, and that's the one thing that I'll give Zach Taylor credit for is that he did game plan Ja'Marr Chase multiple uses last week, right? Fly sweeps, the running game, short to intermediate throws. We knew that the Raiders were taking away the long throw from Joe Burrow, and they were very patient but made sure that they got the football to their playmaker, right? And when you look at Nick Sirianni in terms of her first-year head coach and just go to that ball game with Tampa Bay, Devontae Smith didn't have a reception until late in the third quarter. So I don't understand if you're an offensive-minded coach and you go into a playoff game, it's either win or you're done, how you don't game plan your best player one-on-one opportunities. So I see that. I think the one player for me, Scott, that does step up from an offensive perspective is Tyler Boyd. I mean, he has a light number here of 45.5. He's going to be in the slot for the most part, right, with Chase on the outside. They like to utilize him. He seems like he's a possession guy, but he does have deceptive speed and great hands where he can go over the top. And Burrow, knowing that Chase maybe is taken away with a double team, he might attack Boyd early and often to get the football to Chase later in this ballgame.
Yeah, maybe, but I still think Chase's numbers are low enough. 9 times this year, he's had 77 yards in receiving. Out of he didn't really play the last game against Cleveland, so we'll throw that out the window. So, you know, 9 times out of 17 when you include the playoff game. Which is not as much as I must say is not as many as I thought, but You said it. You know, they made a point. You got to give them at least credit for getting the ball to the guy and without really having a shutdown corner. That's the key to me. When you look at the games that he didn't do well, you know, Denver, you know, they do have shutdown corners. They have, you know, and I expect this to be, you know, a back and forth type of game a little bit. I like the Bengals. Now, again, I was all over Cincinnati's numbers last week, and except for Chase, that didn't happen with Burrow. But, maybe the one game under his belt, they'll get him involved.
Now one player, obviously, that Tennessee has, no Julio Jones. They do have A.J. Brown, 74.5. Are you buying into that in terms of A.J. Brown carrying this team?
Yeah, I don't trust him. Well, he's like Deontay Johnson. Boy, he drops more balls than he does catching them. And really, he's an enigma. You know, he can look great at times, and then he can look awful at times. I do think, you know, Tannehill's going to throw some here. I just don't think they're going to hand the ball off, you know, 50 times and then say, here, let's try and win. I mean, I do think he's going to throw a little bit. But 75 yards is a lot. I would go, you know, if anything, I'd probably go under. And I hate playing unders on these things.
Yeah, I hate playing unders as well. I'll just say this. Outside of A.J. Brown, I think the one player that probably steps up, and I just say that because he's been dead to me since the regular season, former Indiana wide receiver Nick Westbrook. I mean, he never goes to him in a big spot, Tannehill. It's always locked and loaded on A.J. Brown or someone else. This is the day that Nick Westbrook breaks out with probably a 60-yard performance, and his total is 29.5 at minus 110 either way. So if I had to play it on the Tennessee side, he would be the guy that I would buy into, but again, until they have those props with Derrick Henry or Foreman from the running backs, I can't buy in to Tennessee in terms of the prop market just yet. Let's turn our attention to the NFC divisional game in Lambeau. Some movement now. This line opened up with Green Bay as a 4.5-point favorite at the start of the week, right after San Fran knocked off the Dallas Cowboys. We know about the shoulder injury or sprain with Jimmy Garoppolo. This line right now in favor of Green Bay, up to 6, Scotty. Minus 110 either way. Total is 47.5. Juice to the under on FanDuel, minus 114. I lean to the under, and I'm still going Green Bay here. I don't care that it's up to 6. As long as we don't get up to like 6.5, 7 by kick, I'm leaning Green Bay. I do feel there's the potential to win this ball game by double digits. Low scoring game, I'd say 27-17 in favor of the Pack.
Yeah, this is a tough spot for San Fran. I think we mentioned this yesterday, Joe. 3rd straight road game, you know, all against good teams. You know, L.A. Closed out the regular season, and then last week, obviously, and now this game. So is it impossible? No. We saw Tampa Bay, you know, win 3 straight in the postseason to get to the Super Bowl and win. So it's not impossible, but 3 straight road games for San Fran, and they're playing on a short week since they played on Sunday, and this is the Saturday night game, and they got a quarterback who now is banged up even more so than what he was before. And you got the Green Bay, which is 9-0 straight up and against the spread after a loss. Now, I know they didn't take the Detroit Lions game seriously, but I'll just give you the stats. They don't lose two in a row under head coach Matt LaFleur. They never have. Believe it or not, he's got 12 losses, three to close out the season, so you don't count those. But they have never lost back-to-back games in the three-plus years for Matt LaFleur as Packers head coach. Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field, 24-3 straight up, 19-8 against the spread. Under LaFleur, I mean, they don't lose at Lambeau with him. So, boy, I tell you, and you get the four-letter network that's telling us, all week long about how Aaron Rodgers is 0-3 against San Francisco in the postseason. I mean, if you ever wanted a guy to be pumped up and excited, you're going to get that with Rodgers. I would be real surprised. And I'll end it with a Mark Lawrence special again.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. Ready? All right. Division round teams, San Francisco, coming off a wild card underdog win, are 6-30 straight up, 13-23 against the spread since 1998, their next game, including 1-14 the last 15 times this has happened, the past nine seasons. Okay. 1-15. So, point is, underdog teams that win in round one don't win in round two. They just don't. 1-14.
Yeah, which is terrible. So a deeper dive into this game, and let's look at the quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. We heard Shanahan come out and say, the shoulder injury doesn't really affect him. He comes out the other day, and this was a report on SB Nation, 49ers Jimmy Garoppolo says his shoulder injury affects every throw. Okay, so right now, if that's the case, and we have it from Garoppolo's mouth, if he's struggling, let's say, second quarter, and it is, let's say, a double-digit type of spread where you're falling behind, let's call it 10-0, 13-3 for that matter, and you're Kyle Shanahan, and let's say the run game of Elijah Mitchell and let's say Debo isn't as effective as it was against Dallas, are you turning to a backup in terms of this situation? Do we see Lance? Do we see other types of offensive, schemes to take the pressure off of Garoppolo? What do you think Shanahan does in terms of that perspective? Because if that's the case, and you're not going to, let's say, turn to Lance, then I like the under even more.
Yeah, I would go so far, if I was Shanahan, I would utilize Lance regardless of how the game is going. And I hate that. When Drew Brees used to get yanked or Derek Carr got yanked the other day a couple of times in that Charger game 2 weeks ago, with key points, and you're bringing in a back of Mariota. So I'm not a big proponent of that, but I could see San Fran implementing that in a game plan. He does present a little bit of an issue, more so than Jimmy G scrambling the football. And, he got the game under his belt, so he's got a little experience of recent times. So why not throw him out there? I don't know how a guy – first of all, I'm amazed that Garoppolo can throw the football since he's got supposedly a busted thumb. Now he's got a busted shoulder. I mean, it is amazing, right?
Hence the point-and-a-half movement in favor of the Packers. Now, you want to take a shot on San Francisco there, plus 210 in terms of the money line perspective, Green Bay minus 255. I talked about it earlier in the week in terms of, I believe, the X factor for San Francisco. Whether he's hurt or not, you have to get the football to George Kittle. We talked about it yesterday in terms of his performance. They haven't put a total up in terms of his receiving yards. But I will say, in red zone opportunities, Scott, forget the running game. Green Bay knows it's coming. They're going to be locked and loaded, waiting for Elijah Mitchell or Debo Samuel. That's where you look to George Kittle. And when you look at his touchdown prop this week, plus 185, that's not bad for a player that typically dominates when he's healthy, at least in red zone opportunities.
Yeah, I get that, but he's been invisible the last month. I'm just invisible, and there's got to be something there. There's got to be another injury that we're not hearing, because they played in a lot of big games, Rams this past week, obviously Dallas, and they still is not. Why this week all of a sudden is going to be different? To me, you can't make this number high enough, but to me, this number will be 7 by Saturday night.
Whoa, 7 points, and Scotty's still taking the pack. Wow, we'll see how it plays out. When we come back, we'll break down some other touchdown props. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel taking you through Saturday's action in both the AFC and NFC divisional games. Talked about Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy Garoppolo, the quarterbacks in this matchup. Let's talk a little bit about the running backs, Scott, in terms of Elijah Mitchell, Deebo Samuel, the wide receiver hybrid type of running back for San Fran. And then Green Bay poses a problem with running backs Aaron Jones and the heavier back in terms of A.J. Dillon. I do feel Dillon will get a bulk of the carries between the tackles. But look, for Aaron Jones to be utilized in the screen game, he could have a breakout performance. They sort of groomed him back slowly in the second half of the season. But in terms of this matchup against a very athletic front seven in San Francisco, even though Dallas didn't utilize Tony Pollard that way, I expect LaFleur and that offensive staff to break out with Aaron Jones in this matchup.
Yeah, you think? I think they're going to come out throwing. I think they're going to say, Aaron, this is on you. You know, he's been told all week about how he's 0-3 in the postseason. Could be his last year there. Who knows, right? I mean, you tell a guy that you stink so many times. I'd be surprised if they took the ball out of Rodgers' hands. Maybe later on, you know, when they build a little lead, a little cushion, then they'll run the ball down San Fran's throat. But, you know, and you want to fight. Without Bosa, if he ends up not playing, boy, you talk about one less headache for them to worry about. And Warner, the linebacker as well. Another thing about why I love Green Bay in this game, I think this is the best bet on the board all weekend. You take Bosa out of the equation, and I think he'd be a little overrated, but, you know, you take him out of the equation, take Warner out of the equation, it's a tough spot. I think Green Bay can do whatever they want. I don't think it's going to be Buffalo, New England, but I think it's going to be close to that.
Well, here's what I think, and you're right in terms of not running the football. I think they're going to utilize Jones in the screen game, in the short to intermediate passing game, to allow Rodgers to blow off the top of the defense with Devontae Adams, Lazard later in the matchup. I think it's get that defense running sideline to sideline, not with the running game. I agree with you. I don't think Green Bay goes and attacks that front seven running the football early with either Jones or Dillon, but I do feel that they match up Jones on a nickelback, on a linebacker. The way that Dallas ultimately should have utilized Tony Pollard, but deer in the headlights, Kellen Moore didn't recognize how to utilize his playmakers. I think LaFleur understands that in order to beat San Francisco, you need to tire them out, right? You have the better quarterback in this matchup. You have the playmakers that can challenge them over the top with Devontae Adams. You got to think that San Fran is thinking zone defense first. They don't want to play man-to-man. You get Jones out in the screen game or the short to intermediate passing game, then you attack them over the top with Devontae Adams.
Yeah. Surprisingly, I don't know why they don't have the props for the receiving and rushing yards.
I know.
Guys, in this game. I don't know.
It's early. That's the only thing I could think of, Scott. Usually it's up, but maybe because of the injuries, they don't want to price it, you know, because of Garoppolo and not knowing 100% where his shoulder is. You mentioned that it could get up to 7. I mean, thinking like maybe Green Bay might have more opportunities to score or more possessions, then obviously you have to price the props accordingly for all the receivers, no?
Maybe. I mean, they got the Cincy props, with Tennessee not having the running back props because of Derrick Henry. You know, that game's even earlier than this game, so... is it Garoppolo's, his stat? I don't know. It's kind of weird. They wouldn't have any. But maybe it's just one of those things of just getting them into the system or something goofy like that.
Yeah, let's talk about the touchdowns then. They have Randall Cobb at plus 220. You think A-Rod looks for the old man? He lobbied for him. This is one of the reasons why they didn't get over the hump last year is because old man Randall Cobb was not in the locker room. So does he turn to him? Maybe whether this game is in the balance or in a critical key spot, especially in the red zone, would you go to Randall Cobb at plus 220?
Nah, I'm looking at 4-1 or better with these things. And we had this discussion yesterday. They don't score that often for the odds that they're giving you. You know, at 2-1, that would mean that Randall Cobb would have scored 9 touchdowns this year. He didn't score 9 touchdowns. He's not scoring a touchdown every other game. So the numbers don't equate to what, you know, the odds are. So I just – again, Green Bay is going to score, what, four touchdowns? You know, three. Most teams score three, four, you know, maybe in a blowout, 35.5. There's just too many options. Yeah, 2-1. I got to get at least 4-1 on this stuff.
All right, so I'll give you 4-1, Scotty. You ask, you shall receive. Aaron Rodgers, plus 490. To score a touchdown, discount double check. You think he's bam in a big spot.
That I like. You know that I can again. You know with all the MO this week. You know stink. Aaron Rodgers. You can't beat San Fran, his home team. I could definitely see them down in the end zone there, inside the five, designing a couple plays for him to score. Absolutely.
I got another one for you. Now I can't believe that Mercedes Lewis. Okay. The former UCLA tight end is still in the league. I feel like he's been there, honestly, as long as Antonio forever. Gates was with San Diego back in the day. I feel like Mercedes Lewis is legitimately on Green Bay for at least 46 years. He's like the Jordan Reed.
Yeah, wasn't he catching passes from Mark Brunell from the Jacksonville Jaguars?
It's ridiculous. Cade McNown, I feel like he's been there since 98. That being said, he's 5-1. I feel like he's like Jordan Reed. Just when you forget about him is when all of a sudden he steps up 5-1 in terms of a red zone opportunity for A-Rod in this spot. Are you taking Mercedes Lewis there?
That's not too bad. That's not too bad. I'd consider that. You want a nice little long shot? How about Kyle Cusack of San Fran? I don't like betting on a team I think is going to lose. But they've been throwing him the football a lot. He's gotten more targets than Kittle, believe it or not, Joe, over these last couple of weeks.
I know.
You get him at plus 750. Yeah, he's there. You can hand him the football. You can throw him the football.
First and goal, inside the five, he's an opportunity. 750 is not bad. 750 is not bad. Jeff Wilson, 7-1. Jamichael Hasty, the former Baylor Bear, he's 850. I mean, we talked about the quarterbacks. Garoppolo's hurt. 850 to score a touchdown. Anytime touchdown score at 850 for Garoppolo. You buying into that?
I'd put a couple shekels on that. I like the quarterbacks. I do like the quarterback touchdown prop. They're decent numbers, and you're rooting for basically a pass interference in the end zone, which does happen, you know, and you set it up at the 1 yard line and you got your quarterback sneak basically. Anything inside the five, you have a shot. You're probably not going to score outside the five, obviously, but, you know, we've seen it 1,000 times. Guys get tackled inside the five all the time, and it sets up these quarterbacks to scramble or the 1 yard quarterback sneak. So
now we
850. Now you're talking. Talking my language.
And the last two I'm going to go with, because TJ Watt scored the opening touchdown for Pittsburgh against Kansas City in Arrowhead. You have Green Bay defense or special teams on FanDuel, 5-1, San Fran 6-1 to score an anytime touchdown. Are we buying into the return games?
I like Green Bay's better. I like Green Bay, you know, because of Garoppolo and his, you know, shoulder injury, hand injury, whatever the case may be. I can see the defense, not the special teams. I like the defense of Green Bay more than the special teams. Obviously, you get both, but that's where I see Green Bay scoring a touchdown, not San Fran.
All right, we talk about what FanDuel does, and they do an absolute fantastic job in terms of divisional playoff specials. They have a few. We'll rip them down for both games in terms of what we just talked about. Let's talk about, obviously, the one we discussed, Davante Adams, George Kittle, to combine for 200-plus receiving yards, 2-1. You buying in, yes or no, in terms of that weekly special? Would you throw it down?
Give me that one again.
Davante Adams and Kittle, 200-plus receiving combined, correct.
All right, so not 100 each.
Nope.
No, I can't do that. Kittle's been invisible. Especially only 2-1, you know, if it was, you know. I don't even know if they'd eclipse 100, let alone 200, to tell you the truth, the way Kittle's been invisible. So,
okay.
No, I can't do that one.
This one you're going to jump at because it goes right into your mantra. For this game, A-Rod, right? He sucks. He's no good. Aaron Rodgers to have 300 passing yards and throw three touchdowns against San Fran, 5-1. Oh, that's got Scott
bad.
Written.
I like that.
Hook, line, and sinker, FanDuel. Yeah. They got him.
I'd be I'd be more concerned with the 300 yards, believe it or not, than I would the three touchdowns. Just because if it's a blowout, they might call off the dogs there a little bit, but he's always going to throw for TDs. But I could see that. He's thrown for 300 yards this year, a little bit more than in years past. One, two, three, four times. So it's not an everyday occurrence with him. A couple of them that came close, so 292, 288, and two others. But I don't think, like I said, the three touchdowns, that's an absolute to me. It's 300 yards, but I'll take my chances at 5-1.
Here's the last one in terms of the NFC divisional game. Nick Bosa, record a sack, Jimmy Garoppolo to throw a touchdown, and Elijah Mitchell to rush for a touchdown, plus 350. I don't like that one.
Yeah, I don't like that one. But what if Bosa doesn't play? Then it's no bet, I imagine. Or if he does
good
play,
question. I don't know. That's yeah. What happens if he's out there for one play and then all of a sudden gets nicked up? You're screwed in that breakdown. Yeah. I don't like it. The same thing with Garoppolo. What if he throws three passes and he's done?
You know he'll play. You should be screwed there. The two guys or two injuries, Joe. I don't fool around with hamstring injuries. And I said that last week with Leonard Fournette. And I still don't think Leonard Fournette's going to play. You don't recover from hamstring injuries overnight. You just don't. And concussions, to get out of a concussion protocol. That's it's out of your hands. It's out of your, I could play through it. Don't worry about it, coach. Shoot me up. Put extra tape on. That's not a concussion. Concussion, the doc has got to give you clearance or you don't get it. Simple as that. So I'd stay away from that one.
All right, the two in the AFC that they have up that are intriguing, Joe Mixon, Derrick Henry to combine for 150-plus on the ground is plus 100. It is the front runner. I don't like that one as well because what if Henry is only utilized 15 carries, he gets 50 yards. Now you need Mixon to really break off a 100-yard performance against the top seed in the AFC.
Yeah, but I don't think they would do that. I think it's all or nothing for Derrick Henry. Could they, with Foreman doing a decent job and his replacement? Yeah, but I think it's Derrick Henry's show. I like that one. You're getting even money, but I think if Henry plays, that's a good bet.
All right, here's another one I think you're going to love. Jamar Chase and T. Higgins to combine 175-plus at plus 175, Scotty. You love his total at 77.5. I like Boyd to be the other guy, but here they pair it up with Higgins, dynamic 1-2 punch, plus 175. I would say no to that one because I think it'll be Chase and Boyd that step up, not Higgins and Chase.
Yeah, and here's also why. Oh, we had to combine. You can play them separately in a parlay, and your odds will be better. With Jamar Chase's numbers at 77.5, Tiggins is right around 50 or 60, right? So that's only 160 yards, 130 yards. And if you parlay that, I'm getting 2.5-1. Here, they're only giving me plus 175. So that definitely not that one.
Yeah, and then the last one, which they didn't even have Julio Jones listed, Scotty. A.J. Brown and Julio Jones to combine for 150-plus receiving at plus 150. I can't do it. If you don't have Jones on the board, how can you buy into that prop?
Yeah, you can't. Even if he does play, I don't think they would get 150 yards. And Julio's, he's the one that would get hurt after the first play.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll be talking about the AFC and NFC divisional specials. Wrap up the first hour. Coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Concluding the first hour, divisional playoff round, AFC, NFC games. Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel, we've been breaking it down. I give my best bet for the Saturday action, Scott. I'm going to go with the over in Cincinnati and Tennessee. I think it's going to be an absolute shootout. Cincinnati, whether they win or lose, I think we'll be able to get theirs. I think Tennessee ultimately will be able to run the football on the front seven, and maybe Tannehill will give you enough where they get into the area of, let's say, 24 points, still rooting for Joe Burrow to get potentially 28-31. But I like the over in this ballgame as my best one in terms of the Saturday action.
I like the over. I was all over the over last week against the Raiders with Cincinnati, and obviously didn't come through. So I'm going to go right back onto that bandwagon at 47. I do like Tennessee as well. We've seen better teams than Cincinnati fail in these spots. It's just so difficult. Young team, like I said, give them all the credit in the world, but I don't think they're going to be able to put back-to-back performances up. Cincinnati is, good job, good story, but I give it to Titans laying to 3.5 as well.
Yeah, and then in the other game, the best bet, I mean, I still like the under because I think the only way San Francisco could obviously win this ball game is to run it with Debo, run it with Elijah Mitchell. So I lean to the under. I mean, like I said, my best bet in terms of Saturday's games is the over, but I lean to the under in terms of Green Bay, San Francisco as my next thing just because of the offensive philosophy with a banged up Jimmy Graps.
All right. Typical boys in Vegas for me, love Green Bay, and I'm willing to lay the 6, and I do think, Joe, it'll be 7 by game time. I want to put them in a tease, and bring that down to pick them right now, but I don't have that second, absolute, where's the other one that I'm looking for? So maybe it'll hit me by the time football games start this weekend, but I'll take Green Bay minus the 6.
All right, we were wrapping up the first hour. When we come back, Mike Carver will be joining us to talk about the Sunday action in both the AFC and an NFC. Coming right back, Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel, Mike Carver right here on the grid. Keep it where it is.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.